Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. I do hope you're having a good day. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. This is episode 47. Today I had the privilege of having Nathaniel on today. He is a CEO and founder of Live Life to the Fullest. He is also a global international speaker and coach. This guy, I've got to say, wow. There are many people where life throws hard punches and they don't get up. This guy has had some hard punches thrown at him and he's dusted them off and he keeps on coming. Very inspirational chap. Pleasure to speak to him. And please enjoy the show. Have a great day now. Haha. Peace. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. I do hope you're having a good day. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Today on episode 47, we have Nathaniel Zerberger. I might have got that wrong. Zerberg. Like, he even told me before we came on, like, but my tongue this morning on this Monday is a little bit tied. But yes, I have to say, this chap here is a fighter to the end. Like, basically, he is a CEO founder of a Live Life to the Fullest. He has, how can I say, we all start life on different levels. Sometimes it's a little bit more challenging than others. And this guy, for what I got to say, for the first 30 years, he has fought till today, right now. But it's not my story, it's his. And Nathaniel, how are you today, sir? How are you?
Hey, my friend. So absolutely a pleasure to be here, firstly. And I'm doing well. Always happy to share, add value to people on whatever podcast I am. And I'm so absolutely pumped for this time to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. The pleasure's all mine. Like, basically, like, this is the thing. You're an international, like, speaker, right? That's correct.
Yeah, so I call myself global inspirational speaker. So that's what I do. As well, I'm working as a victorious mindset mentor, helping people creating a victorious mindset, no matter their struggles, circumstances, because I believe that everybody has the chance to build up a victorious mindset and go through all the struggles, limitations, and whatever life is throwing at us to reach the impossible.
You mentioned struggle a couple of times just then. And I don't, like, as in my intro, I mentioned, first 30 years. Like, could you go into a little bit more detail with your own sort of personal struggle? For your first 30 years?
Absolutely. So I was diagnosed with an incurable kidney chronic illness when I was just 1 year old. Mm. 2 years later, I was in a 2-week coma because, not necessarily because of the sickness, but we still don't know why that happened. So I was in a coma for 2 weeks. And at the end of those 2 weeks, the doctors called my parents and said, hey, we have done everything we could do. There's nothing else we can do. You might need to come and to terminate your son's life, to basically say goodbye to that life. And the moment my doctors turned off the life support machines, I started to talk again. Mm-hmm. And so for everybody, of course, including for me, it was a big, big miracle because I was supposed to be dead, firstly. And secondly, I was supposed that my brain wouldn't function anymore. Mm-hmm. But I started to talk again. So I recovered from that slowly. Unfortunately, after a few weeks, by the side effect of the medication, I lost 80% of my hearing, which I live on hearing aid since 4 years old. Mm-hmm. It continued with because I lost my own kidneys with 2 years old. I had to do dialysis treatment, which was back then every night. But then we all, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I had to change to 3 times a week, going to the hospital in order to stay alive. Mm. Fortunately, there was a little bit of hope. When I was 5 years old, I received the first kidney transplant, but unfortunately it didn't work for long, just for 24 hours. I had a second kidney transplant with 7 years old, which I was really fortunate to have it for 2.5 years, mm-hmm. which meant like I didn't have to go to dialysis anymore 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. I could eat by myself. I could try out hobbies. I had so much more free time. The first time ever I realized what a normal life looks like. Unfortunately, the dark kidney was affected by the chronic illness again, mm-hmm. and I lost a kidney. And that was a huge, huge disappointment for me, because the kidney, whenever I had a kidney, or especially that time, the kidney was always the best friend for me, mm. because the kidney for me was something big, something that changed my life, something where I realized life is so beautiful. Life can be, I can live out my dreams by going fully to school, getting to know new friends, playing football at that time. And all those things I didn't realize the first 7 years that these are possible, because most of the time I spend on dialysis, I spend in a hospital. I was diagnosed with other few things that get me back into a difficult life. And so those 2.5 years were really beautiful. But then I got depressed because I lost a kidney. And for 2 weeks after I had to remove the kidney, for 2 weeks I was depressed, didn't talk anything, didn't eat anything, mm. and almost didn't move. And the only thing I took was lying on my couch and thinking about how I could end that life. And that was all I could think of. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I was growing up in a really amazing family. My parents realized that they have to do something. And I'm a person of faith. And my parents brought in people like pastors that helped us especially me, to really get to regain emotional, psychological, and spiritual strength. Mm-hmm. And from then on, I realized like, okay, I have to live with that. I will accept it. It was a huge shift again. Until about when I turned 11 years old, I had my third kidney transplant. And I was older at the time, and I realized like, okay, still, it was always a dream having again a kidney. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that kidney only held on for about 30 months. But this time I was different. I realized that even though I have now a kidney, my health is better. I have everything I wanted. I still didn't have everything. And for me, it was clear, okay, there's something better, higher, or deeper that I need to go on in life. And I started, as a person of faith, I started to believe in a God that is higher and bigger than myself. And I just had the talk that no matter how my situation is, at the time I had to go back to dialysis again and lost my third kidney transplant, I developed an attitude that everything will be working out for the good. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I believe it was just the power of something bigger that helped me to overcome that. And the funny thing was like, even though since 11 years old, since 2001. I've been doing dialysis treatment 3 times a week in order to survive, which amounts a total of 4,500 treatments over the past 31 years.
How many treatments again?
4,500.
Okay, wow.
In my 31 year of life so far. And a lot of things happened, but I always think like it was 4,500 times that I could survive. And I believe we always can look at things what still how something has shaped us. Mm. We can look at the positivity or we can look at the negativity and say, okay, in my case, 4,500 treatment, I have to do that. This is crap and all that. But I just think like it's a cool thing to think about, to say, hey, 4,500 life-saving treatment has given me the opportunity to be still alive. So even though not to give myself credit, but over the 31 years of my life, I had those 4,500 life-saving treatment for the operation. Mm. And by the doctors, I should be dead 6 times by now and even shouldn't be able to walk, talk, and amount to anything. Yet, I realized from age 15 so far to till now, so many things happened, so many good things happened. Like I was running 30 km when I turned 30 years old, was living in Australia for 4.5 years, building my own business, which I call Unlimited, and as well my soon-to-be non-profit organization, Live Life to the Fullest. And I'm here living life like never before, and I love it to really inspire people.
Yeah, no, but this is the thing, like 4,500 times, 4,500 treatments, 4,500 times where you got up, you didn't quit, you kept pushing forward. Like, I know, like, look, with regards to like falling into a little bit of a well of depression, like, yeah, I'm going from being tied to a dialysis machine, like, and then going to freedom. Like, you know the value of that more so than anyone else. You know the advantages of, like, yeah, if you're fit and healthy, what compared to being sick, you know the extreme differences that offers your life. So, like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, you're kind of like, how can I put it? You're a fighting force of not quitting. That's what I can like say about you. Like, yeah, keep pushing forward. But like, yeah, I did a little bit of research, and yeah, you were a ski instructor for 2.5 years as well. So you've gone from that, like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, like being sick, to being a ski instructor, which is, how can I say? It's a job which I wouldn't say is easy and tests one's patience for 2.5 years. How the hell did you get from there to there?
That's a really good question. I think for me, I was fortunate to be surrounded by people and friends. And at that time, probably most of my friends were ski or snowboard instruction. Yeah. And I thought like, okay, before that, I actually did an apprenticeship as painter, which was even physically so much harder than anything else I did in my life. Mm. And I just needed a break. I just needed something different to do in my life. And ski instructors, it's not that difficult as it seems like. I mean, you start in the morning at 9:30 and you finish at 1:30, and you have work a full day, and you can.
You're a lazy bum.
The only thing that was difficult when you had to go out, when it was snowing, freezing cold, kids that didn't behave. But that was fun as well. Like, I learned a lot about kids and about the terrain and the snow and skiing. And the cool thing, even though you finish being ski instructor at 1:30 in the afternoon,
yeah,
you still keep going for skiing. So you can, basically, your workplace and your hobby place is the same. And
is there some days you kind of look at and go, I should still be a ski instructor?
Anyone can do it. Believe in you.
So you're a ski instructor. Like, okay, like I'm now, my eyes are open, and like it seems like a ski instructor job is a happy, happy life for like a good like six to 8 months of the year. You just like, I teach you to ski. You go off at one, I continue skiing and having fun. It's like, yeah, a happy life there. So you've like, it's just, it makes me, the thing what kind of like goes, okay, you were like, I take it you've had a successful kidney transplant now to keep you this activity back, or are you still doing dialysis?
I was doing dialysis back then when you ski instructor.
Okay, right, fair enough. Like, okay, you know what, there are some people out there who make excuses like, yeah, I'm like, because of this I can't do that, or I can't live my most active life. But okay, thank you very much. But yeah, you still continued being active. You went on, did a 30k like run. Was it in a race setting, or was it just like, it's my birthday, I'm gonna just do this?
No, it's not just the thing that I did. I was always like, running is something that I do, sport wise. I didn't do it big as a 30km always. The reality was, I was coming home in 2008. I was coming home from a conference in the US. And my mentors encouraged me to basically write down everything that I want to achieve. And I love that when I'm in a plane, I can see the unlimited sky. So which means whatever I see up there, it's like, it's basically adapts to my life, because I feel like up there, the world, our life is unlimited. But we have to go there. So I often say like, unlimitation, or what we want to reach, every unlimited potential is already in us. But just because we don't see it, or we don't have it, or we don't do it, doesn't mean we don't have it. So it's in us, but it's our responsibility as each of everyone to have the responsibility to live it out. And so I was in the plane, wrote everything down that I wanted, and I was coming in the area of health, and I was talking like, let's do something crazy when I turn 30 years old, which at that time would be 4 months later, no, even 3 months. And I told myself, okay, let's do a 30km run when I turn 30 years old in November. So I had 3 months time. And so I was just, from that day on, I was just constantly programming a picture in my mind that I was crossing the finish line for the 30km run. And what the powerful thing is once we have it in mind and we program it in our mind, we automatically take action towards wish meant for me, like, okay, I have to train more. So I started constantly, weekly, at least making 5 km each week. And then maybe one and a half month, I started to do 2 times or 3 times to run. And then a week before, I ran 25 km, which was a really big struggle because I bought new shoes and those shoes didn't work. So I had to give up at around 25 km. Okay. And I was a little bit freaking out. So I broke those shoes back and got another shoes. And I had no idea whether these shoes were working. And so I, on that Monday of the 19th, 2018, I just gave it a try because I put it in my head and I knew, I promised myself that the moment I start, the moment I take the first step, there will be no turning back. And I think so you don't have to be a superhuman to just program something in your mind, because we all can do that. And I realize more often that our brain is so powerful and has such a big capability to store the good things. And we can always choose between saying, hey, no, it's not going to work. So we already set ourselves to failure. Or we can say, hey, it's going to work. I give my best. And we set ourselves for a win. And I think that's something that I realized, that why as well become a victorious mindset mentor, because I so believe that we, no matter what circumstances you have as a listener, the struggles you have, you can always reprogram your mind as a victorious person. And this is not easy to be done, of course, but it's still worth it. Has to be there's decent discipline involved, consistency is involved every day or even every week, depends what you do or want to do, to just think and have the picture in your mind what you want to be, have, or do. And that's basically how, most of the time, or basically all of the time, I put up myself for the success that I want to have, be, or do.
This is the thing. When I was speaking to a chap named Colin over in Shanghai for a podcast episode, I've got to say, this chap, he has done a number of marathons, a number of ultras and stuff like this. Like, what he does for his birthday, and this is most probably where it might sicken you a bit. He does his age in miles for his birthday. So it's like, yeah. So his next birthday, he'll be running 47 miles. For his birthday. Some I couldn't even tell you that in kilometers off the top of my head without going on Google and type. But yeah, something like 70 something like kilometers, maybe more, who knows. But that type of thing, the mindset of doing that is one thing, but the sort of preparation, the grind you've got to go into to make that happen. Because picturing it, and you know what I mean? There was a lot of people, we've all met them, they go into the realm of the secret. I picture this and this is going to happen. The universe is going to give it to me all. There's I simply go, okay, but where's your sort of plan of action? It's look, picture it. Where's your plan of action? And you go, right, no, but, and you know what I mean? You doing your 5K each and every, doing a 5K here, doing a 5K here, building. And the only thing what scuppered you the first time was you had the wrong footwear. Trust me, I have done runs before in the past where it's been a training shoe, not a running shoe. So all you've just like got that wafer thin flat like sole that's going against concrete. Smack, smack, smack. Just like, yeah, by the time I finish, like, you know, you just want to crawl in, crawl up into a ball and just gently weep. But, you know, hey, that's another story for me. But my thing is, like, yeah, the grind, the planning, like, doing that, like when you set out to, say, do, like, something new, what is your sort of plan of action? What's, like, what's your grind to get that done? What is it? I like to know. I want to see you behind the curtain. Yeah.
Question. You mean specifically for running or general?
Like, basically, look, when it comes to me and running, I run a bit, but like any insight someone can give me, like to help me, that's always good.
Great, sure. So what I do usually is I just think about, hey, what do I have right now? What's in my hand? And then I start from there by building up. For example, right now I'm building a new project to helping basically health limited children and their parents to gain a victorious mindset. Mm-hmm. I never done that before. I worked as a ski instructor with kids, but like my own experience in that, what I experienced as a kid has been is like 15 to 30 years ago. So I don't remember what I really needed. And I took like myself, I limited myself by saying, I know I can't do that. I have no idea what those kids need. Mm. But then I just thought like, okay, like, just start with what I have and then gathering information, connecting with people that are nurses, reconnected with nurses that treated me when I was a kid, and all those things. I think the most important is to just really start with something that you have, and we all have something if you reflect it. So my biggest challenge is always, I'm pretty much very strong in seeing the big picture, but not the detail. So what I'm learning is like really reflecting on things. What do I have? Who am I right now? Where can I ask? How can I do that? And who can be involved? And so I'm on a point today where more and more focusing when I miss something or something that I'm not strong to do, I'm looking for someone who is passionate doing it. And we have all those platforms today, Fiverr, whatever. A platform that there are so many people out there who love to do what you don't like to do. that they might not know how you want to do it, but you can explain them. And then all those little things come together step by step. And the beautiful thing is like, just start. It doesn't need to be perfect in the beginning. It just has to be, just do it. It doesn't matter how you do it, what's the outcome will be, whatever, just do it. And then on the way, you will learn so many things. How to do it better. You will ask yourself, what can I do better than I did last time? And as soon as you ask, for example, what can I do better, your brain gets creative and you will find a way to do it better. And I think that's something that I learned mostly over the past years of being as an entrepreneur. And
that's good, because like you mentioned, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. What I tend to find is that at some point we all sort of get caught in that sort of trap of perfection. Like perfection is something what doesn't exist. It's just like, it's got to be perfect. There is nothing in this universe which is perfect that I know of. Like it's an infinite space. By the time we, but if I've seen anything which is perfect, I must have missed it. It doesn't exist in my mind. But going for the realm of excellence, like bringing your best self every day, pushing yourself, like building a team around you, that's the stuff you need. That's the hard stuff. And like, this is the thing, like you most probably experience this time and time again, like going, okay, I want to do this thing, but that team, that like making me better, like you're one part of the puzzle, and just bringing those sums of all those parts together to make a complete picture. Yeah, that's where the good stuff lies.
Great, absolutely. And I think just come to my mind, like, as I said in the beginning, the unlimited potential is already in you. So it's like you have to unlock it. Like the same as you will take a key and put it into the hall of the door, and then you unlock it. And then that is a huge process, like lifelong speaking. Of course, a door unlocking is not that, of a big deal, but just as a metaphor to, you take the key, and even some, sometimes you have to design the key, whatever that means in a specific situation. And but we all can do it, because if you have to design the key, we go to a metal builder and ask him, hey, can you design a specific form of an object? And then we go back to try it. Might not work the first time. We go back again. And so we put the key in and unlock it slowly. And it might be really difficult in the first moment because it never has been done. But then when you try and push it more and more again, at some point, the door, you can open the door and walk into that unlimited potential. And I think that's all lifelong. We never arrived. I believe that we are, like for me as a person of faith, I believe that I am connected to an unlimited God who has unlimited resources, unlimited things. And he wants to bless me with a lot of things. And he wants to do life with me and with each of everyone. And he wants to give what he has. And that is like just unlimited possibilities. And that's a beautiful thing.
Indeed it is. Like talking about, not on a godly scale, but have you seen a documentary which is on Netflix called The Last Dance? Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan's documentary.
I heard about it, but I haven't seen it. I'm not that of a Netflix guy.
No, it's okay. That's not a problem. But like the whole sort of like, it sort of goes with the whole sort of building a team, everything like this. Like Michael Jordan, most probably the most gifted basketball player of all time. And like you saw how he, when he first came to the team, and like it was like the Chicago Bulls were like, when he first got there, oh God, they were woeful. And then basically it was the coach like going, okay, look, like you can only take us so far, but I need to start doing this, that, started picking different elements, which got the Bulls their first title. It was just like, okay, yeah, someone shooting, someone coming in. And you are going, oh my God. When like Jordan returned, there was then like, yeah, Jordan was older. He had to play differently because he couldn't run as fast. He couldn't like do what he used to do. And then he built his skill set up to accommodate his new sort of normal. And then basically that team, which came around him, was like, yeah, exceptional. Like basically bringing in like Dennis Rodman for his rebound skills. It was just like, okay, you like rebound skills. Why do you need that? But if you're the first guy to catch that ball and like send it out, and so you can then score a basket, that's fantastic. Scottie Pippen, like, yeah, if you're the one who's been marked, like if you're on Jordan all day long and then he sends it off to Pippen and he's like, oh, yeah, I've got skills too. You can't, you're like going, hey, you can't stop it. But it's the whole thing, like the value, like you make one and then you bring together the whole. And to make the sum of the whole, I think that's the most important thing. But yeah. Yeah. But yes, with regards to like your favorite, everything like this, was that the sort of thing what led you to doing speaking engagements?
Yeah, basically my story led it to that. Yeah, I realized like, if you would have asked me maybe 10, 15 years ago, and you would have told me that I'm going to be a speaker, I would have blocked up crazy because I was a shy guy, and at school, I didn't like to talk. yeah, all that stuff. But I realized that I had the desire to help, to give back, to help people. And it was maybe in 2011 when I realized that I want to use my story. Just this, yeah, at that time, to inspire people that anything is possible that you believe for, that you think for. And even there I started small. Like the first group that I was speaking to was probably, 10, 20 people. And now today I speak across the world, been in 6 countries, 4 continents, to about 60 different organizations, and TVs, radio, podcasts, physical stages. And I just about 2 years ago that I had, no, that was last. Yeah, last year, my biggest stage were 3,500 people. And I never thought like I'm gonna end up there. So I was like, it was higher than I expected. And I think that's the beauty of life, that when we think big or we dream big, it's going to be even bigger than we imagined.
Yeah, like this is the thing. With that, like, okay, so you've been to 4 continents, you've like done a number of speaking events, you've like gone on podcasts, everything like that. it's like, that is trippy in itself. You must have been like, wow, you guys want me here to speak. Yeah, thank you. Like, you must be feeling quite privileged and very lucky in some regards, but well, you've worked for it. But like, let me see, what was like, where has some of your favorite places been to go speaking? I'm not going to ask you for events because just in case it'd be like, hey, what about our event? But where are some of the like places where your most favorite places to speak?
Great question. Well, there's not only one. I think the most favorite was in last year when I was speaking to that huge crowd of 2,500 people to basically a leadership conference where there are so many people that wanted to grow, and it was just a blessing to be there and to be selected as one of the speakers. And 2017 was also amazing year, which I traveled to 3 different countries within 6 months. No, four different countries within 6 months. And I love to travel. So I was like, travel plus having a speaking is the best thing to do for me. And that's my element that I always dream to be. And now little things change a little bit because I'm back on my fourth kidney transplant, which I have to stay in Switzerland. Ah. I can get a call anytime soon. And so I have to stay in Switzerland as well due to the pandemic. I switched just for a moment. I don't know how long that moment will be for online speaking.
Yep.
And but I will. I can just jump on a podcast and the whole world is reached. And that's a beautiful thing as well. And talking to amazing people like you from London, wow, from Australia.
I'll send you some money.
Yeah, exactly. The US, all different continents. And it's getting better and better.
Yeah, I think with your fourth kidney transplant, with your love of traveling, with planet lockdown at this present time, you're not missing any travel right now because no one's traveling anywhere. Yeah. So,
the funny thing was increasing my speaking from last year to this year, from 11 to 15. And by the online opportunities, so I reached my goal of 15 speaking by, end of April.
Oh, God.
And now I have to increase my goal to 52. I'm having actually, I'm speaking once a year and actually once a week.
Yeah.
And I never thought it's going to work. But even there, I feel like I said before, if we do it with what we have, we will always find a way to do things better and to find a way to go around the circumstances.
And, indeed. So you're currently on 15, going for 52, you're at 15 at the end of April. It's now the start of June. What's your number now? Is it still?
My number is now 22. So I'm actually exactly in the week numbers now.
Okay. It's like going up. So okay.
I need to get a new one every week. So, which is happening right now.
Well, you know what? If you can get to 52, I know the answer. You get if you get to 52 by September, what are you going to do then?
By September?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take a holiday for 3 months.
you're right. 52 is enough. I am done. It's can't be talking to you people. Just I'm done. That's the number.
I'm done.
That's a magic number. But you know what? I'm glad you've made adjustments because that is basically my sort of daytime job is in events and stuff like this. And with the world as it is right now, events have gone bye-bye for the time being. And they might come back. I'm going to be absolutely honest. 2021, hopefully by Easter, but 2021 is what I can see myself where it's going to be big gatherings of people. But right now,
that's fine. I mean, we're all on a journey, and I think the most important is that we can just celebrate the small steps, and sometimes it takes longer than we think. And that's okay.
We talk about talking about the small steps. So what are the what are the next steps for you?
Great question. So this week, I hopefully I can publish the funnel to focusing on victorious mentoring for families with heart limited kids. That's one of the big next step. I'm even not sure if that's gonna work out, but we will see. TEDx stage is that's a goal of mine this year as well. And just developing myself as a speaker, as a trainer, as a mentor, and I'd say my goal to have 100,000 revenue this year. So I will see how that's gonna do, because I always say I'm on a mission, and that mission needs financial support, finances, and even there I'm always looking for ways how I can improve that. And wish in term, I really love to give, and I have another vision that I have is to build hospitals in slums, that I want to help people to have access, not just medical support, but also emotional and even, let's say, spiritual support in some terms, to so people can get the support and go back in their community and make a difference. And that's a big, big goal that I have. As long as I work, as long as I live, I will focus on that as well. It's been far away, but I wonder doors will be open and people will join. And I think that are at the moment the small and the big steps.
So with getting your message across, is it going to be a case of just like through the funnel, the website? Is that the only way, or are you going to be doing stuff, say, on YouTube or your own podcasts? How are you going to be doing that?
Mostly funnels and website. If you want to check out, I have a free ebook for everyone on my website, nathanieltoolbook.com. Maybe we can put the link somewhere, because it's difficult to, my name is quite difficult.
I have no trouble saying your name at all. It's easy, it rolls off the tongue. Nathaniel.
Yeah, so that's an ebook that I help people to in four steps to unlimit their life. And check it out if you want, if you're interested. Feel free to download it for free. Go through the steps and contact. There are different contact opportunities if you need further help, and I would love to help you.
Yeah.
To unlock all the potential you have.
Okay. I think like one of the other things I think you should do yourself is set up a podcast yourself. Because coming on people's podcasts, that's great. And getting out there and start building yourself a little bit more of a following, where people can bring people on, help, and basically take things forward from there. I think that would be really helpful. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you've looked at that option.
Yeah, there's the podcast and book and all that is in my mind. I'm getting there. Shit, for now, it's a different project. I'm a guy who needs to finish one project at a time.
Right.
But definitely helpful advice from you to, one day, maybe next year already, there's going to be a podcast. So who knows? Step by step.
Step by step. Loving it. Oh, now. Let me see. What was I going to say? I was going to say something. Bear with me. So TEDx, you're going to make that a thing for this year or next year?
Good question. I would say this year. Next year. It's a huge progress that I realized to be in TEDx. So I want to rather take some more time to be properly prepared and rush into something, and then never going to happen. So
Yeah, no, like this event. Well, wish you luck with that. I'm sure it's going to come together nicely. No probs, no problem at all. What I'm going to say is, could you tell the people where they can find everything about yourself, how they can get connected with you, like all the different ways? That'd be awesome.
Yes, so website again, nathanieltudbrueck.com.
Yep.
Then you can hit me up on Facebook, which is Nathaniel Tudbrueck as well.
Yeah.
Instagram is, what is it? Nathaniel_Tudbrueck.
Okay.
And LinkedIn, LinkedIn is Nathaniel Tudbrueck as well. So all those, if you go on my website, on the bottom, you will have all the social media clicks.
Perfect. No worries. What I'll do as well, I'll put this in the show notes and basically description so everyone can find you nice, simply. And yes, they'll be able to roll your surname off of their tongue quite easily.
NathanielTudbrueck.com.
Yes.
Simple.
Nathaniel Tudbrueck, you see, like I said it, yes, no problem at all. Nathaniel, I'd like to say thank you very much for coming on today. It is much appreciated. You have been a star, you have been a legend. Yes.
My friend, thank you for having me. It was fun, and hope everybody will get something out of it.
Awesome.
See you soon.
No problem. And what I'll simply say to you it is this. Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye, my life warriors. Stay well. Stay safe. Be awesome. Be excellent. Be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and more. Anyway, have a great day and bye-bye. Peace.